welcome, welcome, beautiful people. It's good to see you guys. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, man. It's been like, I think this is the first time Christmas Eve fell on Sunday since I've been here, since for the last 11 years. I don't think we ever had Christmas Eve on Sunday. This is the first time. Very, very interesting. Yeah. Well, welcome, guys. We have, you know, welcome to our Christmas Eve service. Tonight there's going to be an outreach service done by our Vietnamese ministry just to bless the community and stuff like that. So if you guys have people that, friends, family that speaks Vietnamese and would like to come out and just have a Christmas service, they will be there, okay? Our EM service will not have an evening service, okay? So you guys are free to, you guys. Oh, man, all right. But we will enjoy the Christmas day, all right? Hey, let me pray for us, and let's get into God's word this morning. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the life that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. And today, as we celebrate the birth and the incarnation of you, we ask, God, that you would remind us what it's all about. Lord, I pray that you will humble our hearts. Remind us, Lord God, of the beauty and the goodness of it. Teach us, O Lord, that we may learn. Move our hearts, O God, that we may move for you. We thank you so much, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hey, let me ask you a question. What usually happens when there's a celebration or a birthday? All right, what do you usually do when there's a celebration or a birthday? Right, what do you do? You get a cake, right? You get a cake. You put their name on it. Right? You don't put your name on it. You put their name on it, right? You prepare to have a good time, right? You plan out going to their place. You get a gift. And when you get there, you kind of make the attention about them. You kind of put them up there. You make them feel like it's their day, and you really hope that they enjoy it, right? Now let me ask you this question. Imagine it's your birthday, okay? And then when people came over to your house to celebrate it, they're about to give you a gift, but then instead of giving it to you, they gave it to the person next to you. They say, hey, this is actually for him, right? Imagine it's your birthday, and you have all these people coming to the party, but the attention, or at least the focus, wasn't even about you. Imagine it's your birthday, okay? And people are singing happy birthday to you. But then after they sing it, they kind of forget about you, and you kind of put back in their corner, and everyone else is doing their own thing, right? I don't know about you, right? I think in my house, birthday is big. So, if it was your birthday, you'd be pretty annoyed, wouldn't you? I mean, you would be a little bit kind of like, what's going on here? Something's wrong, right? And isn't that sometimes really funny? That's the attitude we have often when it comes to Christmas, right? Today is we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's his birthday, okay? We're celebrating his birthday, right? And this magnificent miracle of God becoming man, and it seems like instead of celebrating him, it's celebrating us. Maybe the question we need to ask ourselves during Christmas is, what are we doing to magnify and draw attention to Christ rather than to ourselves? Or another way to ask it is this: am I really making it about Jesus, or am I making it about me? Right? This is his birthday. It's his birthday. I mean, I think you understand this naturally. You're humans, right? If you say it's my birthday and then everyone treated it not as your birthday, it'd be kind of weird. I'm not saying that the things we do for one another on Christmas is bad. What I'm saying is, are the things we do drawing attention to the meaning of Christmas? Right? Are the things that we're doing drawing attention, focusing and highlighting the actual person in which the holiday, or which this day is about? Right? So today I'm not going to give you a message on the events, on the story of Christmas. I'm not talking about the manger. No baby Jesus, no shepherd, no wise men, no virgin, okay? Today I'm just going to share with you a simple message on the meaning of Christmas. That's it. And my hope and my prayer is that as you're listening and grasping the concept of what it means to celebrate today, that we go back to our homes, we go back to our families, we go back to our friends, and we really think about the one who made Christmas real, right? The one who makes Christmas what it is. So today I want to share with you three things about the meaning of Christmas. Okay, open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. This is a short message because I preached for the VM, so I had to keep it short. Right? I know you guys are just, oh man, right? So But you know, I can always drag it out. I have that gift, right? First John chapter 1:1-4. Let me share this with you guys. First John chapter 1, verses 1-4. This is the Apostle John writing. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete, right? The meaning of Christmas. First, Christmas means this. As you're celebrating this season, as you're celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christmas means that salvation is by grace. Salvation is by grace. Verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen of it, and we have testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So John is beginning with this picture. The meaning of Christmas is salvation by grace, and he begins with this declaration that Jesus is not a legend. He's not a story. He's not a fairy tale. He's not a made-up idea. Jesus is a real person. Jesus is not a legend. The way the John writes it, the wording of the phrase, all these verbs he used, touch, see, heard, right? All these words are testimonial words. All these words are testifying words. This is like a deposition. He's giving his eyewitness testimony. He's saying, I have heard, I have seen, I have touched them. He's not a made-up story. He's not some fairy tale that we can look back on. He's not a legend that we kind of attest to. Because if he is, then the stories, the legends, whatever, you can take it with a grain of salt, or you can pass it on by. But John is saying this is not some random legend or story. He is somebody who existed. He was real. He came to earth. He was alive. I've heard him. I've seen him. I've walked with him. I've ate with him. I've touched him. And now I'm proclaiming him. Jesus is not a legend. So if he's not a legend, then I mean, whatever he is, whatever he testifies to, must be important. Whatever is about this man must be important. What does John say about Jesus? Verse 2 says that Jesus is eternal life. Not that he shows the way to eternal life. Not that he can teach you about eternal life, but that he is eternal life. That's what Christianity is unique. Every religion, the founder, the prophet, the sage, to tell you, here's the way for you to find eternal life. Buddha's last word was, I am not the way. I'm just pointing. You gotta find the way yourself. Every religion, every teacher, every prophet, even today's day and age, everyone says what? Just do you. Find your own way. Find your journey. And it sounds nice. And it sounds like, you know, if I do that, I'm gonna find life. Jesus is the only one who's ever said, I am life. I am the way. The Bible never says that Jesus points the way to God. The Bible says he is the way to God. So imagine this. Now imagine this. If every single cultural voice, if every single religion around us is saying all the exact same thing, that you can sum it all down to one exact same thing. You gotta do this. You gotta work this. You gotta engage in this way. That's how you find life. Everyone's saying this in some of their own unique way and how they say it, but they're all saying the same thing. If you boil it down, if you reduce it down, they're all saying you can find life if you do these things. Christianity, Jesus Christ is the only one that says you can't do anything. Because why? Because I am life. And you can't get to the Father except through me. If that alone should at least give you pause to think about, is this faith real? Is this faith is unique. It's different. And if we couple that with the validation that Jesus Christ came back from the dead, that he died and he resurrected, oh man, it gives a convincing testimony that this Jesus Christ is who he says he is. You know, growing up, my grandma gave me this saying. I'll say it in Vietnamese, I'll say it in English, right? In Vietnamese, it goes like, you know, Dao nào cũng tốt hết, right? Chỉ có người không tốt thôi, right? Rough translation means, every religion is good. The issue is the person. It's whether the person is good or not. I grew up with her telling me this saying over and over again. Even while she's in the nursing home, and I come over and I pray for her. I say, I pray for you. She says, it's okay. Of course, every religion is good. It's whether the person is good or not. And at first it sounds pretty good, right? It sounds like a nice saying. It sounds like, you know, that sounds pretty, you know, I can live by that. But the more you think it through, the more you realize maybe it's not as clean cut as you think. Right? Because imagine if you're drowning in the middle of the ocean. You're actually drowning. You don't know how to swim. You're drowning. You're gasping for air. Okay? It doesn't matter if you're a good person or a bad person. You're still going to be drowning. You're dead. Okay? All it takes is another minute or so and you're gone. And let's say a boat comes up, like a little boat comes at you. And you're drowning here and the boat throws at you a bag of money. Throws at you the instruction manual on how to swim. Or it throws a buoy at you. Right? Now, each of those things are very good on its own. But the reality is what? Only the buoy can save you. Jesus Christ is that. Right? I mean, every religion sounds pretty good on its own, but only one can actually save you. You can't just flap your arms and think that you're going to somehow figure out how to swim. You can't have someone just keep yelling at you instructions. Move your hands. Keep your head above the water. When you're drowning, you're drowning. You only got a few minutes left and you're gone. There's no way around it. You can't do it on your own. You need someone to save you. Jesus is like that buoy. Okay? It's an analogy, okay? It's not perfect, okay? But it's an analogy. If our greatest need is information, God would have given us an educator. If our greatest need is technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need is money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need is pleasure, God would send us an entertainer. But our greatest need is salvation. Therefore, God sent us a savior. Because we cannot save ourselves. There was a real person that God became man, God incarnate, becoming man on earth, whom John testifies to. I've seen, I've touched, I've heard. And this person is eternal life. The beauty about Christmas is that God wanted to save us. That God desired to save us. That he was willing to go the distance to save us. And he gave us his son to save us. Because he knows that we cannot save ourselves. Christmas means salvation by grace. Christmas means when you celebrate with your family, when you gather around the tree and your morning coffee in your hand. Christmas means this gift that I have is because I cannot have it on my, I cannot save myself, and he had to come for me. My eternal life, Jesus Christ. But here's the second thing about Christmas. Christmas means you can have fellowship with God. Look at verse 3. It says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's not enough that we just know that Jesus has come. It's not enough that we just do things for Jesus because he has come. Christmas means that God has gone through infinite lengths to come to where you are in order to have a relationship with you, so that you can actually have a personal connection with him. He's not content just to be a concept to believe in. It is not enough that you just know the idea about him, that it warms your heart every time you think about him. He became human so that we can have a relationship, an intimate knowledge, understanding, and fellowship with him. Right? Going back to my drowning example, let's say the boat throws it at you, and the person on the other side is screaming, "Grab the buoy, it can save you." And then you and your drowning voice says, "I know." But you just refuse to move towards it, or refuse to latch onto it. And everyone's just screaming, "Grab the buoy, it can save you." "I know. I know." It's not enough to know that it can save you. You must have an intimate connection with it. And in the same way, when we say that, "I know that Christmas is about Jesus," the question you have to ask is, do you actually have an intimate relationship with Jesus? And the good news about Christmas is this, is that God can be found, that he is a real person, and that you can have a real relationship with him. That you can have a real relationship with him. You ask me how? How can I have a real relationship with him? He has his word. Can I tell you something beautiful about this word? That if you would read it, that if you would let it read you, actually. If you let the word of God read you, you begin to recognize there's an actual power in here. There's an actual reality that begins to take hold of you as you read it. Then it's not just a book. It's a living word. And it captures you. And it points you. And it opens your eyes to see this God of heaven and earth. You gotta read this word. This is how you begin to have a relationship with him. This is him speaking to you. This is him reading your heart. This is him reading your soul. This is him speaking his truth into your life. This is him. If you ever want to know, if you ever want to hear God speak to you, read the Bible. If you want to hear him speak to you for reals, read it louder. His word has that power. You know, I was making a joke in the EVM side. You know, they did the Bible memory challenge. You know, the kids did it too, right? And I was making a joke. I mean, I don't know if it was a good joke, but I made a joke. And I said, like, you know, it's funny. There's only, like, 6 dudes up here. Like, and there's, like, 20 women. Right? Or actually, like, 32 women memorized their Bibles. There's only 6 guys did it. Right? I don't know why the other guys didn't do it, but I was saying, like, You know, like, I hear all the time, like, parents complain to me about their kids and how their kids don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I'm, like, I'm looking at this picture up here. And I'm seeing God's men who were supposed to be leading the family, and there's only 6 of them up here reading the word, memorizing it. No wonder your family's all messed up, right? No wonder you guys need prayer, right? I mean, what's going on? You know, again, I'm not sure that was a good joke, but I said it, right? It's that Christmas means that you can have a real relationship with God. That it comes through the prayer, it comes through the word, it comes through prayer. Do you know how prideful you are if you say, "I don't need to pray"? Or at least when you say something like this, I hear it often, "I don't want to bother God with small stuff." You don't want to bother God with the small stuff? Did you not know that your next heartbeat is not even yours unless God ordained it? You don't want to bother God with the small stuff? How about you bother God by saying thank you for this next heartbeat that I'm about to have? It's a prideful person who cannot pray. A prideful person, if there's a lack of prayer in your life, I guarantee you, probably there's an increase of pride in your life. Because pride is saying, I don't need this, I can do it. Humility says, I cannot, and I need you. Humility is how you begin to engage in this relationship. It's how you allow God to begin to speak and engage in you. And so when you ask the question, I don't think I have a relationship with God very well. My question I have to ask you back is first, are you actually reading his word and letting him speak to you? And second, are you praying back to him? I don't want to bother God with the small stuff. You bother God for your next heartbeat. Wake up, church. Don't be foolish. The beautiful thing about Christmas is that Christmas tells us that God wants fellowship with you. God wants to be near you, close to you. That he moved from heaven to earth to engage with you. The equivalent, I mean, it's not an equivalent, but like a fraction of the understanding of this, if I can paint a visual picture as best I can, of God becoming man will be equivalent of you becoming a cockroach to engage in a relationship there. You're thinking, that's ridiculous. That's unbelievable. Why would they do that? You know who also thought it was unbelievable? The other one-third of heaven thought it was unbelievable. Like, why would the God of heaven be with these mortals, be with these people, be with these cockroaches? Why? And if you think you're somehow greater than that, you yourself are foolish. The challenge of Christmas, the beautiful thing about Christmas is that the infinite, beautiful, magnificent God would choose to become man. That will go through the depths of length to break through the chasm in order to have this relationship with you. The challenge for you is this: how far would you go in your life to have this relationship back? Where will you go to have this reality of him into your life? You can talk about it. It's nice. I believe. I know. Knowing is not the same thing. It's actually engaging, clinging, holding, and having this relationship with him. The meaning of Christmas, according to John, his most beloved apostle, Christmas is that salvation is by grace. Christmas is that you can have fellowship with God. And thirdly, you guys are like, wow, it's on the third point. Yes, I am. He says this: we write this to make our joy complete. Christmas means there is a joy eternal for you. Christmas means there is a joy that is Christmas. If Christmas is real, it gives you more than just a happy month of decoration and Christmas shopping. If Christmas is real, it gives you more than just a happy month of caroling, right? And music on the radio that starts in November, which I don't even want to talk about yet. But, you know, it's that. Because you know that on Christmas, if Christmas is real, you know that on Christmas, God punched a hole into reality and the ideal, the hopeful, the what you wish for becomes a reality. That this is real. Do you know why when you read stories and you watch Marvel and you feel like, that's so amazing, that's so cool, right? You read amazing stories of dreams and life and you're like, how is this possible? I want to live forever. I want to be forever young. Right? This power, this greatness, this hero, there's a sense of joy that comes out of it. All these fantasies that you begin to conjure up and believe in, these ideals, these hopes. Do you know why you have that? It's because you were made for it. You were not made to be stuck in the frailty of the human likeness. You were made to be fully the image of God. And so those stories are just reminders. They're little peaks of just reminding you, this is how it's supposed to be. This is what you were meant to have. This is the real joy that's there. There's a joy because, and Christmas is a joy because this, it tells us not only that God punched a hole into the reality and he made what seems impossible, what is ideal and hopeful becomes an actual reality. It tells us that no matter how bad things get here, no matter how hard things are, there is always the constant reminder, Jesus is real. That this is not my home. There's more to this life, and in this life, if I lose everything, I have the security, I have the hope that I have Jesus Christ. Death can only bring me home. Death can only bring me comfort. Death can only break through and give me true reality. There is nothing in this world that can shake me if I understand the meaning of Christmas. The ideal became real. And if you understand that, that gives you such a peace and a security. I remember there was a mission I went on before I came to TLC. It was a mission to Cambodia. It was a tough one. I mean, I'm not upset about the mission because it's my joy to serve my Lord Jesus Christ, but, you know, sometimes serving him is hard. Sometimes there's pain in there. I remember this trip. It was a hard one, okay? The pastor wanted us to go into these deep villages deep in the countryside area. Okay, we had to go through mountains and stuff. We had to cross a river, right? Trek up a mountain, get all that stuff. And it was the rainy season when we went. So I remember when we got onto this boat, which is this rickety ragshaw thing, I'm like, oh, man. Like, the team was like, we're going to die, right? And it's already started pouring down. It's early in the morning. It starts pouring down. We start our journey. We took an hour drive out to the dock. And then from the dock, we start going on this thing, right? And while we're there, the storm starts raging. You know, the waves are, like, kind of moving. And the engine died in the middle of the river. And we're just standing there. And it's tossing us back. People are getting seasick. They're throwing up in the middle outside of the boat. And we're just hoping that the guy who's trying to, he's like, don't worry, this happens often. I'm like, well, I hope so, right? And he's trying to fix the engine. And finally, he gets it going. We're getting to the other side. And when we got there, that's just the beginning of the journey. Because then we got to go up this little trek of mountain. And the rain is starting to pour down now. It's starting to howl. And you know, your pastor, I don't wear shoes. I wear my sandals. And so, you know, when I'm walking there, there's no paved roads. I'm slipping on the mud. I'm slipping on these things, you know. And that evening, oh, man, so many of my teammates got sick. We had to give them pills because they were just heating up. Right? Their bodies weren't used to the roughness and the terrain. I remember while we were going up the mountain, we had to take a little break because it was coming down so hard we couldn't move forward. So kind of hide underneath a little tree area just to get some get out of the wet for a little bit. I remember sitting there feeling tired, right? Feeling exhausted, feeling like, man, what did I do with my team, right? I hope they make it, right? But also in my head thinking to myself, this will pass. This day will not last forever. I will go home soon. When I say home, I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about America, right? I will go home soon, right? I will get there soon. It's going to be warm. It's going to be nice. This will pass. You know, so fast forward, we got to the place finally. You know, we went through a couple villages, a couple days, right? Came back. And I remember when we came back to America, LAX airport, you know, we got through the custom. And it's one of my favorite things as we go through custom. You know, they look at you, they kind of make sure you're, you know, who you are. They look down at the passport, they take the little stamp out. It's when they used to have stamps and stuff digital. They stamp it, and they say two magic words, welcome home. I remember when I heard, I was like, oh, I'm home. I'm so happy right now. And I thought to myself, as I was walking, as I was feeling so thrilled about it, walking to get my luggage, I was thinking to myself, man, if I'm this happy being welcomed home to America, what would it be like on that day when I stand before my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and he says, welcome home. Welcome home. The pain of this day, the pain of this life, the struggles, the ups and downs that we go through, it will pass. It will not last because we have a home. We're going to go home. Christmas tells us there is a home to go to. Christmas tells us there is a hope that we can cling to. Christmas tells us that the ideal that which we always have been yearning for, it's real. It's real. If God can become man, we have a home to go to. Which means this, it means that I can face anything. I can face any struggle. No matter how deep the depression gets, I can go through it. No matter how bad the cancer plagues my body, I can get through it. No matter how difficult the finances, the struggles around me is, I can get past it. Because why? It will not last. This will pass. I have a home. And John writes, as he ends, that there's a joy in him. But you know what's funny? That the joy is not just that, just knowing that there's a home. His joy was made complete when he did what? When he writes this. When he tells us. So we write this to make our joy complete. Because the joy is not complete just having the knowledge and the reality of it for yourself. The joy is made complete when you're able to let others know. When you're able to proclaim it. When you're able to tell people of the reality in which you have tasted, touched, grasped, and seen through this word, through your time in prayer, through the knowing what you are and who you are and what has been done for you. There's a joy that's made complete when you let someone else know of this reality and they come to know the same reality as you. Christmas is that. It means salvation by grace. It means that you have a fellowship with the living God. It means that there is joy eternal waiting for you. John wanted to make Christ known. He wanted to draw attention to Christ. He wanted to make it about Christ. That's how his joy is made complete. And in this season of Christmas, let me tell you, I don't want to be a Scrooge. Let me end with something happy, right? It's fun. It's fun opening gifts. It's fun opening gifts with one another. But it's not complete until Christ is there. This Christmas, it's fun to have dinner parties and gatherings, but it's not complete until Christ is there. It's fun to decorate and get into the festivity of the season and get into the merriment of the season, but it's not complete until Christ is there. So my prayer is this. This Christmas, as we celebrate the birthday boy, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, let's celebrate the birthday boy. I say that not in a derogatory term, Lord, but you know, in a language you guys understand, right? Let's celebrate his birthday. Let's bring him into the picture. Let's make it about him. Because it's always been about him. Let's pray.